Welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast, where business leaders come to share their advice and journeys to success with existing and emerging leaders of America. Join us as we delve into the minds of these accomplished individuals, uncovering the strategies and insights that have propelled them to the top. Whether you're an established leader or an emerging force in the business world, this podcast is your go-to source for the knowledge and inspiration needed to navigate the dynamic landscape of American business. Now, here's your host, Dylan Bloyd.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast. Thank you for listening today. Today's guest is Tyler Woodall. Tyler is the founder of Agency Aid. Before Agency Aid, Tyler started an insurance agency that he automated and grew from $0 to seven figures in under 2 years and then successfully sold the business. He has since built Agency Aid, which is also 100% automated. It can be ran on his phone and can be done in less than 10 hours a week. Tyler is passionate about giving back and has led mission teams around the world and donated thousands of meals to support people in need. Thank you for joining today, Tyler.
Thanks for having me, man. It means a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. So could you please give us a brief background on yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, for sure. So I've always been entrepreneurial growing up. When I was in middle school, I had a candy business, high school and college, had a t-shirt brand. That was really my first kind of entrepreneurial foray. It was called the Sew Project. We sold t-shirts, hats, things like that, used all the profits to feed kids in Central America. It was a safe way for me to learn about business, e-commerce, marketing, and then kind of did what we had wanted to do. Like you mentioned, we're able to provide thousands of meals in South America. Super thankful for that opportunity. When I was finishing college, was trying to just figure out what I was going to do next. And a mentor recommended getting into commercial insurance. And so I felt like he was smarter than I was. So I said, all right, I'll do it. So went into it with the understanding with my previous company that, hey, I'm going to do this for 2.5 years. At the end, when I feel ready, I'm going to start my own business. And so we had an agreement where I could purchase my customer base from them and go off on my own. And so got to exercise that, grew that agency for a couple of years. In the midst of that, started seeing what it was really like running a big boy business. Ran into all the same challenges you hear most people talk about, hiring, e-myth, the entrepreneur myth, where you're working double the hours for half the money and just like a lot of dissatisfaction in life. So started getting into the world of hiring virtual assistants and created standard operating procedures inside my business, started automating, eliminating, delegating tasks, and eventually got that business to the point where it was largely running without me. And then decided, hey, I like this side a lot more than I like doing insurance. I like the automating side of things. So I sold that agency and went all in on a business where we help entrepreneurs to kind of experience what I was able to experience. And it has been incredibly rewarding and having a ton of fun with it.
Oh, that's great, man. So what sets you apart from other agency owners and how did you leverage technology to help skyrocket your business to success so quickly?
Yeah. So there was a book that I read called The E-Myth that was really worthwhile. He talks pretty heavily about building standard operating procedures and then making an organizational flow chart. So what are all the positions in your business? And then early on, you're going to sign your name next to those positions. But as you grow and need more time, you're going to replace your name with somebody else and somebody else is going to run that role. And so when I started this business, I went to a whiteboard in my conference room and I decided, here's what I want the business to look like. And I'm going to start this company with the intention that in 6 months, it's going to run without me. So what's it take to get there? And then we just backed into it. And so I was intentional from the start about writing standard operating procedures on this is how we do this, that, and the other. This is how we market online to find clients. This is our sales script for how we close them. This is how we onboard. And so as we grew, now it's really easy for me to hire somebody for that position because it's already finished. I just send them, here's the SOPs you're in charge of, go crush it. And so that's the standardization is what's been able to set us apart. And we use that same process for all of the people. We staff virtual assistants for insurance agencies now. And so we use that same process. And so our end product, the person we're staffing for these companies, we know exactly what they're capable of. I know exactly what they need because I've been in their shoes. And so it's been a win-win for everybody and been really beneficial.
I was doing some research on you, and I noticed that you used that program SCORE. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So anybody who doesn't know what SCORE is, it's a mentoring program, and they help entrepreneurs start their businesses and then kind of assist along the way.
Senior Corps of Retired Executives, I could not recommend them more. When I was in college in my first business, the SOAP Project, I got a SCORE mentor, and Cheryl was incredible. She'd been in HR for years, and her skill set was different than what I needed at the time, but it was still somebody that's in your corner that has way more experience than you do, that can coach you up. And eventually I had Cheryl, and I ended up having Fred, who was in sales for his career and then in more managerial and executive roles, but they were able to give me the ability to kind of see around some corners that I didn't know were coming yet. So they could help point out some roadblocks before I got there. And it was really beneficial. I've got some family members that started businesses that also had SCORE mentors, and it's been really worthwhile.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. How did you find out about SCORE? Was it through one of your family members?
Yeah. So actually my dad, he's an entrepreneur. And when he got started in his business, he had a SCORE mentor. And he said that was honestly his SCORE mentor and his CPA were his two people that coached him up, because he had zero business experience other than just his experience in the workforce.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So any of the listeners that are looking to start their own business or just need that extra assistance, make sure you check out the program. And yeah. So when they are setting you up with the program, do they base it off of what you are looking for with your company? Then they kind of pick the correct mentor?
Right. So there's chapters all over the country, and based on who they have that are mentors inside of that chapter, they'll pair you with somebody. And ideally it would be somebody that's good at what you're struggling with. You have to fill out a form that's going to ask you about your business, what you do, what you're struggling with. And so they'll try and find you somebody that can help where you're weak.
Yeah. One of my previous interviews I had with another guest, he had mentioned it. And he said, I'm surprised more people don't know about it. You know, and I actually hadn't heard about it. It sounds like a great program. So I want to make sure that I get the name out there.
For sure.
If any of the listeners are looking for that, that's great. So awesome. Well, thank you for that. So do you have any marketing tips to share with the listeners who may be struggling to expand their reach to their clients or audience?
Yeah, for sure. So obviously everybody talks about social media to the point where it kind of just sounds like a dull drum now. So like everybody else, I recommend social media, but I'll kind of give a different spin. So rather than just posting on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, those things can work, but it's going to be really difficult. It takes a lot of creativity, consistency, probably paying, because those platforms are, except for TikTok, moving pretty heavy pay to play. Where I have a lot of success is inside of local Facebook groups. So if you're somebody that's selling B2B, then I would search your industry name. So let's say, for example, you own a marketing agency that services roofers. So I would search roofer or roofing in Facebook and click groups and join as many of those groups as you can. And what you're going to do is you could then go to ChatGPT and ask it, what are the top 20 challenges that roofers face? And then you're going to say, can you write me a short post for Facebook to help solve those 20 challenges? And so then you're going to change those, put it in your own verbiage, do it based on what you do, but you're just going to try and start adding value in those groups. So you're going to ask questions, find out what people are struggling with when they post and say they're having an issue. You're going to try and solve those problems as much as you can and try to generate engagement, because the more that people are liking and commenting on your stuff, the more Facebook's going to share your stuff to more people. So that's beneficial, but also it is social media. So you got to be a person. And in sales school, they teach you people buy from those they know, like, and trust. And so you've got to build that trust factor before you get sales. And then if you're in the B2C space, local yard sale groups, if you search buy, sell, trade and your city name on Facebook, you're going to find tons of people. And you're just going to engage in those groups. When we were doing this selling insurance, our process would be, we would several times a day would ask a question like, what's your favorite pizza spot in town? What are the top skills graduating seniors should have, et cetera. We'd get 300 comments. And then we'd comment back to every single one of those people, just making sure they knew my name. And then every three or four posts, then I would post a testimonial. Well, all of those people that have engaged with me already are now going to see my following post. And so I'm getting way more engagement without having to pay for ads. So hopefully that's a little nugget that people can actually use to go get some business on social.
No, absolutely. And it kind of eliminates that door-to-door old school way of going about things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so obviously you can go knock 50 doors and it'll probably take you maybe 3 hours. You can message 50 people in 30 minutes on Facebook. You're probably going to get action blocked at some point if you've not been super active because they only let you send a certain number of DMs, but it's really easy to engage with a lot of people really quickly that way. And you can do it all from the couch on your phone.
Right. Then you mentioned another thing about ChatGPT. It has made things so much easier. You know, I mean, it really takes the part of you having to think of what to say and then you just piece it together. Because even if you don't really like it, there's options to change that, right? Change it to more business form or, you know, be more personable. That is a great, great tip. And thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, no problem. We're just honestly, my team, we try to use it to optimize humans. So there's going to be some roles that eventually it can replace, but really it's just making us a lot more efficient right now. Like if I can spend half as much brain power on one task, it allows me to provide twice as much on another task. And so if I'm able to automate some of the important things in the day-to-day, it should be able to allow me to scale faster because I free up that bandwidth to take on more tasks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Is it pretty important to make sure that you're following up with all of the people that are engaging with you on those social media posts?
Yeah, I think it's really important. Gary Vee talks about this. He's like, look, this person has taken time out of their day to respond to something you've said. It's pretty arrogant if you don't take the time to respond back. And if you're hoping to get money out of their pocket for whatever you're doing, it's the least you could do to respond. So that's how I started. I was doing it myself. And then I hired a virtual assistant that it was their job just all day long to engage with people and then respond to all the comments. So it looked like I lived on my cell phone, but really I just had somebody on my team that was really awesome that was doing it for me.
Gotcha. Virtual assistants, they will engage to a certain point, right?
Yeah. So I communicate with all my team on Slack. It's a group messenger app, kind of like GroupMe or anything else. And so my VA would respond back and forth for a while until it looked like it would be possible to set an appointment for a sales conversation or move it to the next step. And then they would just send me a screenshot and say, hey, here's the conversation we've had so far. How would you like me to move from here? And so as you build that relationship, that person's going to know more of how you talk and what your procedures are. And so it gets easier and easier.
Awesome. Well, you did mention a little bit about your initiatives, you know, giving back and things like that. Can you actually give us a little more detail on initiatives that you've led and what makes you so passionate about giving back?
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up with a little brother with special needs, eventually passed away, had a rare disease, kind of like MS. But through that, just kind of made a passion for me to give back. And so I spent a lot of my summers growing up in Central or South America, helping in churches, children's homes, things like that. And so it just became a big piece of who I was. And so in college, I wanted to do something and I knew I didn't have a whole lot of skills, but I could figure out something. And so that's where the t-shirt business was born. So basically the math worked out, like I would sell $20 or $25 t-shirts. It cost me probably $8 to print. And so that difference was all profit. And we just used all the profits to feed kids in South America. So we would find churches and say, hey, we'd love to partner with you. Who in your community needs support? And so we would partner with them and all the money would end up going directly to the needs. A lot of times people that made less than like $50 a month. So that was really rewarding. One of the things we're working on right now, it's not launched yet, but it will be probably in the next 90 days. It's called the So Foundation. So we're starting, it's a nonprofit organization, and we're starting an endowment fund with it where basically businesses or people can donate to the endowment fund. We invest it into low risk treasury bonds and things like that, where we're going to earn 5.5% to 7% per year in interest. And we're going to donate a minimum of 5% per year of the fund to these different needs. So the way that this works is the interest that we're earning is going to surpass all of the donations. And so essentially what we can do is guarantee to different entities around the world, hey, how much do you need to raise to run your organization? Okay, 50K, cool. Well, that's taken care of forever. And so then we can go to the next organization. And because we're never pulling from the principal, this thing can last in perpetuity.
Oh, that is amazing. Truly amazing. You, man, are definitely making a difference.
Means a lot.
All right. Can you give us a little more detail on your new business, Agency Aid, and how listeners can engage with Agency Aid?
Yeah. So essentially what we do is the same processes that I used for my insurance agency, where I had typed out standard operating procedures on here's how we run a homeowner's quote, car insurance quote, et cetera. And then I recorded videos in Loom of me doing those tasks. Now we've got a couple hundred training modules, and we teach virtual assistants to do those same tasks and then staff them in other insurance agencies around the country. So we have started now expanding to other industries and other roles. So what this looks like is cold calling or handling inbound calls. We've got appointment setters for social media that are engaging on social. And then we've got bookkeepers as well. So we're adding in some services that can go general to any business, but we started where we knew we were good and kind of proof of concept there. And now we're slowly branching out. But if you're a business owner that is busy, needs help, don't know what you need to grow, feel free to reach out to us, myself or my team. We do free strategy calls. I've got time analysis worksheets and bottleneck worksheets where we can see where's your time being spent now? What are the things you should automate, eliminate, and delegate? And then how do you get started from there? And then if it makes sense to work with us and get you a VA, great. If not, we can probably help you find some type of software that may take some of that load off your plate.
So can they find that on your website?
Yeah, we've got agency-aid.com or we've got winwithc4.com. Either one will go directly to our team. Winwithc4 is kind of the brand that we're using for just more generalized business, just so that we can kind of show a few more services that we're doing. But either one will go to my team and we respond really quickly.
Perfect. All right. So last question before we go, what advice would you give your young entrepreneurs and future leaders of America that you wish you had knowing what you know now?
Honestly, I think dream bigger is a big one. There's a few quotes that have really rocked me recently, one of which I was listening to a podcast and the gentleman said, most humans tiptoe through life to arrive safely at death. And basically he's just talking about, we don't do anything to take risks. We're constantly trying to play it safe. And honestly, it's going to get you where 99% of the rest of the people are going. And then this morning I sent out a Marcus Aurelius quote to a lot of my friends. I'm going to pull it up just to make sure I don't butcher it. But basically Marcus had said, think of yourself as dead. You have lived your life. Now take what's left and live it properly. So essentially just take the opportunity to see what do I enjoy and what's going to add the most value to my life and try to pursue that rather than take this safe job. There may be an option where you make a little bit less, but it's a lot more fulfilling. I would pursue that option. Try to have as few regrets as possible.